بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we studied the Tashahhud and also As-Salat al-Ibrahimiyyah, and then we studied Sunan as-Salah, the recommended actions within as-Salah. And in this lesson, we come to the 11th lesson of the book Durus al-Muhimma, which is Mubtilat al-Salah. And the meaning of Mubtilat al-Salah is something which invalidates and breaks the Salah. Something which invalidates the Salah. Sometimes it is called Mubtilat, sometimes it is called Mufsidat, and sometimes it is called Nawaqid. And all of these terms, they mean the same thing. Nawaqid al-Salah, Mufsidat al-Salah, or Mubtilat al-Salah, meaning something which you do, an action which you do, which invalidates the prayer, and therefore you have to repeat the Salah again. This is the meaning of Mubtilat, or Mufsidat, or Nawaqid. And the author, Rahimullah, Shaykh Ibn Baz, Rahimullah, he says, وَهِيَ ثَمَانِيَةٌ. There are eight. There are eight actions which invalidate a Salah. He said, Al-Kalamu al-Amd ma'al-Dhikr. A person to intentionally speak. Ma'al-Dhikr, meaning it is something which is being done intentionally. Amma al-Nasi wal-Jahil fala tubtil salatuhu. As for the one who spoke in the Salah out of forgetfulness or ignorance, then his Salah is not invalidated. Second, al-Dhahik, laughter, wal-akl wa-shurb, eating and drinking, wa-nkishaful awra, for the awra to be revealed, wal-inhiraful kathir an jihatil qibla, and for a person to deviate away from the direction of the qibla, to deviate a lot, wal-abath al-kathir al-mutawali fi salah, and for a person to have unnecessary movements in the Salah. A lot of continuous unnecessary movements in the Salah. And finally, intiqad al-tahara, for the tahara to be broken, meaning for wudu to be broken. So the first of these mubtalat is al-kalam, is speech. Meaning speech which is not from the speech of a Salah. And it has to be intentional, and a person knows and he remembers. And the evidence for this is the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam. He said, "Kunna natakallamu fi salah." We used to speak in the salah. Yukallimu rajulu minna sahibahu. One amongst us used to speak to his companions. Wahuwa ila jambihi, and he was beside him in salah. Hatta nazalat, until the ayah was revealed. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand for Allah, meaning establish your salah, قَانِتِينَ, devoting yourself to Allah. He said, فَأُمِرْنَا بِالسُّكُوتِ وَنُهِينَ عَنِ الْكَلَامِ. So we were ordered to remain silent, and we were forbidden from speaking. So this is the evidence that if a person speaks in the salah, and he speaks intentionally, remembering, then it invalidates his prayer. What happens if a person speaks unintentionally, or for example, out of forgetfulness, then his salah is not broken. His salah is correct. And the evidence of this is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Salami radiallahu anhu, that he spoke in the salah unintentionally. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to him, "Inna hadha salah, inna hadhihi salah, la yasluhu fiha shay'un min kalam an-nas. Innama hiya lit-tasbih wat-takbir wa qira'at al-Qur'an." When he spoke, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, this salah, it isn't appropriate that you speak with the speech of people in the salah. It has only been established for tasbih, glorifying Allah, wa takbir, and magnifying Allah, wa qira'atul Quran, and the recitation of the Quran. Where is the evidence that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not order him to repeat the salah? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he corrected him, but he did not order him to repeat the salah. Why? Because the person, Muawiyah ibn Hakim radiallahu anhu, he spoke, but he didn't know the ruling of speaking. He did it intentionally, but he wasn't aware that speaking, it invalidates a salah. And then he said, al-dahik, laughter. Laughter also invalidates a salah. And Ibn al-Mundhir rahimullah, he said, ajma'u ala anna al-dahik yufsid al-salah. That there is a unanimous agreement amongst the ulama, amongst the madhahib, that laughter, it invalidates a salah. He said, wal-akl wa-shurb. And also eating and drinking, there's also ijma' of the ulama that it invalidates the prayer. Wan-kishaf al-awra. And the exposing or the revealing of the awrah. In the previous lessons, when we spoke about shurut as-salah, the conditions of as-salah, we said sitr al-awrah, the covering of the awrah for the men and the women and the young in its different types. So if sitr al-awrah, if covering the awrah is a shart, therefore if the shart, if the condition is not fulfilled or it is broken, then it invalidates the prayer. So anything which invalidates a shart or goes against the shart is now an invalidator of the prayer. Because the shart, the condition has to be fulfilled before the salah and also during the salah. And in kishaf al-awra, it invalidates the salah if it is done intentionally. So if a person uncovers his awra intentionally, the salah is broken. The detail is if the awra of a person is exposed unintentionally. So for example, a person was wearing a loose shirt, he went into ruku', let's say he's praying outside and wind came and removed some of the shirt, and therefore the awra is uncovered. Or for example, a person is praying salah and one of his children comes beside him and lifts his shirt, and therefore his awra is exposed and uncovered. Does this invalidate as-salah or does it not? And the ulama, they differed here. So all of the ulama, the fuqaha, they agree that if the awra is exposed intentionally by the action of a person himself, then the salah is batil. It is invalid. But what if the awra is exposed unintentionally? The ulama, they say that if only a small part of the awra is exposed, then this does not invalidate the salah. A small part of the awra, like for example, the shirt is lifted slightly, so a little bit of the hip is shown or the waist is shown. This does not invalidate salah. Why? Because it is only a little bit. Even if it is for an extended amount of time. So if the awra is little, but the time is a lot, then still it does not invalidate the salah. Or the opposite is also true, that if the awra is exposed a lot, but for a short amount of time, then this does not invalidate the salah. And the only time when the salah is invalidated is if a large amount of the awra is uncovered for a large amount of time. So if the covering of the awra is fahish, meaning the awra which is uncovered is, you know, from the private part itself, or it is a large amount of the awra for a large amount of time, then the salah becomes invalid. Naam. So if the exposure of the awra is intentional, the salah is invalid regardless of how long it is for and which part of the awra is uncovered. If a small part of the awra is uncovered unintentionally, then the salah is not invalid, even if it's for a large amount of time. If a large part of the awra is uncovered but for a small amount of time and it is unintentional, then the salah is not invalid. But if the awra which is uncovered is fahish, like for example the private parts, or it is for a large amount of time, then the salah, it is invalid. And then he said, "Well, inhiraf al-kathir an jihat al-qibla," and also for a person to deviate away from the direction of the qibla a lot. And what they mean by a lot is for the whole body to deviate away from the qibla. So if a person, for a small amount of time, his face went away from the qibla, this does not invalidate the salah. But if his whole body turns totally away from the qibla, like for example 90 degrees towards one direction, then the salah, it is invalid. And as a side point, what is the meaning of al-qibla? Facing the qibla, what does this mean? Does it mean that a person has to face the exact degree of the Kaaba or not? And this differs depending on where a person is. So if a person is praying salah and he's in front of the Kaaba, then he has to face the Kaaba itself. The very direction of the Kaaba itself has to be faced. If, however, a person is praying salah far away, like in this country for example, then the obligation is to face jihatul qibla, the direction of the qibla, not the Kaaba itself. So if, for example, a person prays the salah and generally he was facing, in this country, southeast. However, afterwards he realized that he was a few degrees this way or that way, this does not invalidate the salah. The point is jihatul qibla, that generally you are facing the direction of the qibla. And this happens in some of the masajid in which there is a 5 degree or 10 degree which they are facing away from the Kaaba. This is still correct, because the obligation upon us is jihatul qibla, the general direction of the qibla, not the Kaaba itself. The Kaaba itself is an obligation upon a person who is standing in front of the Kaaba. And then after this he said, والعبث الكثير المتوالي في الصلاة, for a person to make many unnecessary movements continuously in the salah. So any movement which is not from the salah, it is unnecessary, it doesn't have a reason behind it, without any necessity, and a person is doing it a lot. So much so that if a person was to see him, he doubt whether he is in salah or not. So if, for example, a person was standing, and even if he's facing the qibla, but he's continuously putting his hands in his pockets, then taking out, then putting in his pockets again, then messing with the mobile, then taking it out, a person would doubt, is this person in salah, or is he just standing before the salah? This type of movement, it is, if it is abathan, meaning without any need or necessity, and it is mutawali, it is consistent, many movements, then it invalidates the salah. As for a small amount of movement, it does not invalidate the salah. For example, a person's mobile rings, and with one hand he puts the mobile on silent, and then he resumes the salah, this does not invalidate the salah. Or if a person makes a movement due to a need or necessity, there's nothing wrong with this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is narrated that once he prayed upon the mimbar, وَنَزَلَ ثُمَّ سَجَدَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, and then he stepped down from the mimbar to make sujood. He made sujood and then he stood on the mimbar again. So that movement of stepping one or two steps down to make sujood, it does not break the salah. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, فَتْحَ لِعَائِشَ الْبَابُ وَهُوَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he opened the door for Aisha radiallahu anha whilst he was in the salah. And the meaning of opening the door, if you remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not live in a house. He used to live in the hujr. And the hujr is a small chamber, a small room, 2 or 3 meters by 2 or 3 meters. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whilst he was praying his salah, he could easily remove the curtain or open the door just by moving his hand or maybe by a step. So because it was only a small amount of movement, and secondly there was a necessity for him to do so, this does not invalidate the salah. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, He is to pick up Al-Hasan wal-Husayn radiallahu anhum and other children in the salah. And that picking up of the child, when he would go into sujood, he'd replace the child on the floor, it does not break the salah. So if the movement is little, or it is done due to a necessity, then it is permitted. If the movement is Al-Abath, Al-Kathir, Al-Mutawali, if it is without a necessity, and it is a lot, and it is continuous, then it invalidates the salah. And then finally, intiqad al-tahara, for tahara to be broken, meaning the wudu of a person is broken, he passes wind during the salah, his salah is invalid, he has to go repeat the wudu and repeat the salah again. However, if a person finds najas or najasa upon his clothing and he is in the middle of the salah, so whilst a person was praying, he noticed on his shoe, for example, that there is a najasa there, then this does not invalidate the salah. But what the person has to do is remove the item of clothing immediately. So for example, like happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was leading the sahaba in the salah, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him and informed him there is najasa on the bottom of his sandals. And so in the salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kicked his sandal to the side. And he took off his sandal and he kicked it to his side. He was praying with his sandals or his shoes on. The sahaba alayhi radwanullah, they did the same, because they thought perhaps this is a legislation, perhaps this is now a new hukam. So they did the same. Afterwards, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed them that Jibreel alayhi salam had come to him in the salah and informed him of the najasa. The point is, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not repeat the rak'ah or repeat the salah, this shows that the salah is still valid. But the item of clothing has to be removed if it can be done so. Like a jacket or a glove or a hat or a shoe or a sandal, so on and so forth. So these are the mubtilat as-salah, or mufsidat as-salah, or we say nawaqid as-salah. Then there are other matters, and the author rahimullah, he did not mention in durus al-muhimma, but the other fuqaha mention, that are disliked for a person to do in salah, but they don't invalidate a person's salah. And these are called makruhat as-salah, meaning those actions which are makruh, they are disliked. So they don't invalidate a salah, but they lessen the reward. And the reason why they lessen the reward is because it lessens the khushu' of a person or the tama'nina of a person. So the general ruling is, the asl is, anything which distracts a person or makes him lose his focus or weakens his tama'neen and his khushu', his concentration and his humility in the salah, it is makruh. This is the general principle. And then you can measure anything to it. Anything which distracts a person, loses the focus of a person, weakens a person's khushu' or tama'neen, then it is considered to be from the makruhat. But if it is from the matters which we have mentioned previously, then it is from the mubtilat. So the makruhat as-salah are many. For example, entering into salah and a person's mind is already occupied, and this comes in various forms. As an example, a person enters into the salah and he is extremely angry. Him being in the state of extreme anger, already his focus and his concentration is reduced, and therefore it is from the makruhat. So a person calms himself, makes wudu in order for his temper to be removed, and then he enters into a salah. A person to enter into salah in extreme hunger, because again his focus will be elsewhere. Or like in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for a person to perform salah and the food has already been prepared and placed in front of him and he desires the food, in this situation also it is makruh. It is recommended for the food to be eaten first and then for a person to go pray the salah. Otherwise, If he desires the food and it is prepared in front of him, then his focus will be on the food. However, if food is prepared for a person but he isn't hungry or there is no desire for the food, then there is nothing wrong with this. Also, the ulama, they mention, for example, a person who enters into the salah and he is habis, meaning he has the urge to urinate but he's holding it back, or he has the urge to pass wind and he is holding it back. This is from the makruhat. Why? Because whilst he is in the salah, however, his focus will be elsewhere. Also, from the makruhat salah is al-haraka al-abathiyya al-qalila, is for a person to make a movement in the salah without any necessity, but it is only a little. So if this movement is a lot and continuous without need, it is from the mubtilat. However, if the movement is a little and still there's no need for it, but it's just a little, then it comes from the makruhat. As an example, a person in the salah, he unzips his jacket, and in reality there was no need for him to unzip his jacket. Or in the salah, he straightens his hat, straightens his clothing, and there's no real need or necessity for him to do so, then this is from the makruhat. Because of the same principle, it lessens the khushu' and the tama'nina of a person. Also, from the makruhat as-salah is al-iltifatu bil-wajh ila ghayr al-qibla, is for a person to turn with his face to other than the qibla. This is from the makruhat. If a person turns all of his body away from the qibla, so he's facing another direction, this is from the mubtilat. But if he is facing the qibla and slightly turns his face, then this is now from the makruhat and not the mubtilat. Also, at-takhassur. And the meaning of takhassur is for a man to place his hands upon his hips in the salah. This is from the makruhat, those matters which are disliked. Also, for a person to offer salah and his sleeves are rolled or folded, or his hair is tied at the back, if it's a man, not a woman, a man whose hair is tied at the back, all of this is from the makruhat as-salah. Because when a person offers salah and when he goes into sujood, then all of his body goes into sujood. So his hair goes into sujood along with him, and his limbs go into sujood along with him. In fact, it is recommended that if you see a person and he's praying salah with his sleeves rolled up, it is recommended for you, and it is legislated for you, to unroll his sleeves like it occurred at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But a person doesn't have to repeat his salah. It is something which is makruh. Also, for a person to spit during the salah, especially if it's towards the right hand side or towards the direction of the qibla. And if there's a need for a person to spit in the salah, like if a person was outside, then he spits towards his left hand side. And there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the spitting towards the right or the spitting in front. And if a person has to spit, then towards the left or underneath his feet. From the makruhat as-salah is the raising of the sight away from the place of the sujood, or for a person to close his eyes without any need or necessity, or for a person to sit, when a person is in the tashahud, then he sits on his backside with his feet towards the side, like the sitting of a dog, akramakumullah. Or when a person is in sujood, then he makes sujood with his elbows on the floor and his body closed up. All of these actions are from makruhat as-salah. So these actions, they lessen the reward of the salah, they take away from the perfection of the salah and the completion of the salah, but they do not invalidate the salah. So a person does not have to make sujood sahu, neither does a person have to repeat his or her salah. And then there are actions which are called al-mubahat. And the author, rahimahullah, doesn't mention them here. Al-mubahat are those actions which are permitted for a person to do in salah. So they're not wajib or mustahab, neither are they mubah or makruh, but they are permitted for a person to do during a salah. And a person may think that they are from those matters which invalidate the salah, but they do not. And again, there are many examples. So from the mubahat is for a person to move towards the qibla for a particular reason. If a person needs to take one or two steps, as long as he's facing the qibla and going towards the direction of the qibla, then this is permitted. As an example, if the saf in front of him was broken and he finds a space, he's able to take one or two steps forward. This is something which is permitted, or we could say it is mustahab, it is recommended. And other actions like this, as long as a person is going towards the qibla. Secondly, carrying of a child. So if you have with you an infant, and that infant is crying, it's permitted for you to pick up the infant. And of course, there's movements that need to be made to pick up the infant and put them down when you're going to sujood. This is from the mubahat. Also, it is permitted for, the fuqaha mention, the killing of a scorpion or the killing of an insect which is harmful, or a snake or something like this. Also, it is permitted that if a mistake is made, then the men, they say subhanallah. And as for the women, then they merely clap their hands like this. So للرجال التسبيح, it is tasbih for the men, subhanallah. And as for the women, التصفيق. And the meaning of tasfiq is to clap the hands like this to notify the imam of an error. Also, it is permitted for a person to make an ishara with his hand. So, for example, if somebody comes in and says as-salam, then it's permitted for a person to raise his hand like this. And this is the ishara for returning the salam. And this is done by the palm facing the floor. Now, like this, the palm is facing the floor and an ishara is given. And this is wallahu a'lam if a person intends you by the salam. But if a person generally enters and he doesn't intend you with the salam, then there's no need for this ishara to be given. Or to make another ishara, another indicator with the hand for whatever reason a person needs to do so. So if a person has a child with them, who is walking or messing around, he makes an ishara like this, meaning sit down. Or if he needs for somebody to wait for him, he makes an ishara like this, raises his hand slightly for the person to sit down. If there's a reason to do so or a need, then it can be done. Also, it is permitted, rather it is recommended, for a person to move out his hand to prevent a person passing in front of him. Or if a person needs to and move one or two steps forward to prevent a person walking in front of him, then this is also permitted. And also if a person has a necessity to spit, as I mentioned, he spits towards the left hand side, and this is also from the mubahat. This is also from those actions which are permitted. So this chapter, or these previous chapters, they show us that the actions and the statements within the salah are five types. Or more, in fact more. There are the shurut, and the shurut come before the salah. So they are shurut. And then there are arkan, and if you remember, the arkan are those action or statements that if a person does not do it intentionally or forgetfully, then the rak'ah is not valid. The rak'ah has to be repeated. And then there is the wajibat. The wajibat are those actions or statements within salah that if a person leaves them intentionally, the salah is invalid. However, if a person leaves them out of forgetfulness, the salah is still valid. However, he makes a sujood sahu at the end. Then there are the mustahabbat, those actions which are recommended for a person to do. If he does not do them, the salah is still valid. And there is no qadha upon him, there is no sujood sahu, but the reward is lessened. Then there are, after the sunan, the mubtilat, i.e. those matters which invalidate the salah, so the salah has to be repeated. And then also we have the makruhat, the disliked matters in the salah. And finally we have the mubahat, those actions which are permitted within the salah. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.